Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price of the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That was the intro music. That's great.
We're having too much fun here in the studio. Yeah. We can't be bothered with going on air.
Yeah. Well, we had the time change. Good evening, Northern California. You know. It's, what is the date today? It's
today is the
15th. Yeah. 15th.
I was hoping it was the 17th.
It's 15th. Sunny.
It's, and there's no rain.
No rain today.
What happened? So this is,
I'm not functioning because the sun's made me like, what? What's going on? Where?
It's too light out.
I'm melting. I know. We're not used to it looking normal again.
I know. And you know, though, I have to say, it's very kind of strange outside the sky. I expected after that kind of a rain and storm, you know, you usually get this just incredibly crisp air and the sun is super bright. But, I mean, it's obviously everything's been clean, but the sky's got kind of a weird...
little hazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if that's just because there's just so much water vapor in the air.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
You can't see through it. But, yeah, I was like...
Well, and there's more coming, right, apparently?
Yes.
I guess so, yeah. So,
but at least we have a few days reprieve, got a good weekend coming up, and then starting Monday...
Back at it.
Yeah.
Has anybody looked at the... I really like to know lake levels, but I mean, ever look them up. You would think that would be just something that would be super easily available, right? Readily available. Like, you could just look at what's the lake levels, whatever, in California, and you'd have a page that does that. But I seem to struggle to find anything that actually gives you, like, up
well,
to date.
I'll usually text and say, hey, where are we at?
Oh, Siri?
Matt.
Oh, Matt. Oh, from Caverns.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're keeping track of it, and they were doing great.
That's good.
From what I understand, people are already starting to reserve their, I was going to say lifeboats.
Oh, yeah. The people we've talked to said that lifeboats.
people already reserving their.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that this is going to be a stellar season for the marinas.
Yeah.
Which would be really nice for them. It'd be nice for everybody.
Rain starts again on Sunday, apparently.
Yeah.
We'll see. So, how's the rest of your week been?
Good. You know, Yvonne and I started out this week exhausted. You know, we have her brother's relocating to Reading from Big Pine down in the eastern Sierras. Where her father was, and unfortunately Yvonne's father passed away a few months ago. So we've been having to do lots of journeys down there to help, you know, wrap things up. But her brother, who was down there with her dad, bought a home here and is moving with the rest of the family here to Reading. But we had to leave this Friday to go down, deliver the headstone, and then there was an estate sale. So when Yvonne and I trekked out of here the other day, we left when there was, you know, it had just snowed. So yeah. Reading was completely white. And I was like, okay, here we go. We're going to go up 44 and through Lassen and then over to Susanville and down through Reno and then, you know, all the way down. And you know what? Surprisingly enough, I got to say, Caltrans had done an amazing job. Mm-hmm. The roads were just as clear as could be. Yeah, there was 10 feet of snow. I mean, it was like we were driving in a tunnel. But, I mean, it had either been completely plowed or rocked and salted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just that night that we were there, it had snowed down here, so you knew it was snowing up there. But they did an awesome job. We didn't even have to put it in four-wheel drive, put any chains on, nothing. And then we find out we get to Reno, and there's a landslide in Levining. So then we had to take some godforsaken detour through Nevada, you know, and every desert, which actually ended up being very beautiful. I mean, I was really kind of like, wow, this is
really
pretty country.
But the gas stations are a little sparse.
Yeah. And on our way into Bishop finally through, we thought, okay, we're in the clear. And then, no, sure enough, like just what, maybe 20 miles outside of Bishop. We're trying to get through, and it's like, I've got footage on my phone with us trekking in our truck through, you know, rivers that have come over the highway, you know, and you're...
Took out the highway.
Yeah, the highway's gone. And so we're going through it slowly, and you could feel the truck sliding on rocks sideways as the water was pushing the trucks. And so, yeah, it was interesting. So then we got there and made it and, you know, did everything that we needed to do, got up in the morning and headed out. This time we had to go south, so we were going to have to go south through Tehachapi. And we didn't get very far, and the river or everything was flooded again. So then we had to, again, head over to Nevada and circle this big lake.
Owens Lake.
And mm-hmm. come back around and then go through Tehachapi. And I mean, and all the way up 99 from
so,
all the way from
what you're
Bakersfield.
Saying is,
there's a lot of water.
I think there's a lot of people up in Northern California and in the Sierras and also down in Arrowhead area that, you know, it's been adventure time, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I will say it's interesting. Yes, we've gotten record snows and rain and stuff, but this winter has not been that far off as to what our winters used to be like when
exactly,
I was a kid.
Yeah.
When we moved here, we used to get these kind of winters and storms all the time. I mean, we used to get that Pineapple Express or whatever they call it, that river, whatever they're calling it.
Every time I hear that, it makes me think of SpongeBob.
But it would rain for, you know, a week straight, and we would get these incredible winds, and, you know, and then we'd always get a snow at least and stuff. So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, this is what our winters used to be like.
By the way, if you're listening, we do actually have a guest coming on pretty soon, a very well-known guest. I'm going to have some fun with it.
He's an OG.
He is an OG. probably the most recognizable person in Reading, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say
for sure,
but
especially with media.
Mm-hmm. So, but he'll be joining us probably in the next 10 minutes or so.
He's probably driving frantically
from
one place to the other.
He just came in. Tell you what we'll do. Let's take our first 2 minute break with music, por favor, and we'll be right back.
All right,
he walked in.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back.
We are.
The original intro. Well, second.
Yeah. Right.
Nigel and James, and we have Yvonne with us.
Hi.
And we have, you know, I know you don't like the accolades, but
no,
I'm gonna say you've got to be one of the most recognizable people in Reading.
For sure.
Can I say for better or worse?
Yeah.
I would say the sweetest.
No.
So we have with us Mike Mangus.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Did you just get off your evening?
I did.
Yeah?
I did.
So you see?
I washed off my makeup. I don't need that here. Yeah.
Well, you look good on radio, Mike.
Yeah, right?
That's where I need to be.
You know, if it doesn't work out on the whole TV thing.
Thank you. Well, I always tell people, if I can be on TV, anybody can be on TV.
So I've known you, I don't know how long now, since Homeless Rockstars.
Yeah,
movies,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yep, whenever that was.
So I was always kind of funny. You know, did the Homeless Rockstars thing, and mm-hmm. and Mike called, hey, can I interview you for TV? I'm like you want to put me on the news because I'm taking pictures of homeless people?
Well,
like,
it's a good story.
Like, in L.A., that wouldn't even happen. So that's when I knew I was in a small town. Right?
See, I grew up on Mike.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Mike's been in my living room since as long as I can remember.
See, that's the thing. Is they see people that have gray hair and all that, and they go, oh, I remember you when I was a little kid. Thank you so much.
So, were you, let's get a little bit of your background. Were you born here or?
I was not. It's tried to be a well-guarded secret that I was actually born in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
My parents lived in a little place called Lytle Creek in the San Bernardino Mountains. Mm-hmm. So I was born in the hospital in Fontana. However, they moved up here when I was two, so I really don't remember much of mm-hmm. anything down there.
One and a half is a little blurry.
I've been here ever since, other than living in Chico for a while. I went to school there at Chico State and then worked for Channel 7 for a couple of years as the Chico reporter. So they hired me almost out of school. Like, I did work in radio for a little while.
So you've been doing this forever?
Pretty much, since dirt.
but you know, it's one of those things. It's not like you did something else and you had a career or two.
It's weird. I knew when I went to Shasta High, I was on, you know, I was the sports editor of the school paper and then the sports editor of the yearbook. And then I actually went 1 year, my freshman year, I went to Fresno State because that is, I think, still a really good journalism school.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got there, all the journalism classes were taken up by upperclassmen. But there was an opening in a broadcasting class. So I just took that and I go, hey, this is kind of fun. So I just kind of stayed with that. But after my first year at Fresno, it was just too flat. No mountains, no lakes and rivers around. So I came back to Chico after that.
Yeah.
They're not far, but you never see them.
Yeah,
because the air down there is so dirty.
I went to Fresno State, mm-hmm. my 1 year there, there was the town of Fresno, and there was kind of a shopping center, and then there was Fresno State, and then like 6 miles down the road was a town called Clovis.
Yep.
And now I understand they're all just one big.
It's huge.
Yeah.
One big. We have a magazine.
I think it's all connected between Sacramento and Bakersfield at this point, isn't it?
All the
animals. Just about. Yeah.
Lots of them. Yeah, it's pretty close. Yes, but Clovis. Clovis is completely been consumed, but it's still beautiful and has a really nice downtown charm. It's
kind
still
of a boutique-y.
Yeah, it's very boutique-y. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
So then when did you come on to the Reading?
I was gonna say, did you have any other job before that?
Before Channel 7?
Yeah,
I worked in radio for about 6 months. Let's see if I can figure this out. So I was living.
Mike's trying to do Common Core math right now.
Good luck with that. I was living in Chico, still going to Chico State, but because being still a sports-oriented person, I started shooting video, which at the time was film, for Channel 7 while living in Chico, like shooting some of the local high schools down there in Chico State and Butte College and that kind of thing. So I was doing that. And then when I graduated, there were no openings at Channel 7. So I worked in radio for about 6 months at a little station called KSXO.
K60.
Yeah.
Johnny Logan.
Johnny Logan was
so that's my uncle.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
How's he doing?
Gianna, he just passed away.
Okay, I'll just leave now.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He was in a very bad car accident a couple years ago.
Oh, man. Yeah. John Stahl.
Yes. And just, you know, just one thing after the next after the next. And
oh, man.
Just really trying to get back, you know, lots of surgeries and stuff. And then COVID and all, it just, everything.
Sorry to hear that. Because I got along well.
Yes. So Johnny at one point would have been another one of those people that was in that category of celebrities locally, right?
So, yeah.
Because I remember he would shout out to our bus when we would be going through the mountains, right? He'd call out our bus number.
For school.
Oh, okay.
And be like, yeah, my nephew's on bus number 32 and they're traveling up over Whitmore Mountain and stuff. And, you know, we were cool.
Yeah, in the little Quonset hut out towards Shasta College. Yeah. So anyway, about 6 months there, and then there was an opening to return to Chico to be the Chico. I mean, since I already kind of knew the town a little bit and had just gone to school there, so that's, you know, a couple of years there before. But I wanted to do sports, so as soon as possible, I wanted to get back to Reading. And then that took a little bit longer before I could do sports. But
so did you want to take the sports thing further and maybe go, you know, did you have aspirations of, like, I don't know, ESPN-y kind of thing? Or you just wanted to stay
I'm still waiting for the phone to ring. It's just not happening.
Oh, we can make some calls.
No,
we have this young buck here.
He has to turn that torch over to somebody like Sam Comente.
Yeah. I enjoy the area. I mean, this is just what I do, but I love the people here and I love the area. And, you know, we brought up our kids here and now our grandkids are here.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had any aspirations. And again, not that anybody was asking, but I never had any aspirations to go anywhere.
You know, it was kind of funny though, because a few years ago you took a little detour, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did that twice, actually.
And I think a bunch of us were taking bets, like, yeah.
I don't know if you liked it, but the rest of us hated it.
Oh, you guys are too nice.
So you took a break from the airwaves. And
I did. I had a friend who was the president of Mercy Medical Center in Reading, and he said, boy, we could really use some help in this department, and here's kind of what the job would be and all that. And so my contract was just ending at Channel 7, so I was like, okay, I'll do that, but through no fault of his own, but the job wasn't nearly what he described it as being. So I was like, no, this is not.
And then
what
you started
to
get that itch again about.
Well, and then it just, let's see, that was the news anchor at the time left unexpectedly, mm-hmm. and so they said, would you be
just
interested?
Just because they had to, or
back?
They do something
and then,
bad?
Let me guess.
No, I don't think they did anything bad.
You already had quite
searching.
Yeah. I got no dirt.
You already had quite a showreel at that point, so I'm sure you didn't have to apply for
it. Well, yeah, they knew me. If they didn't know me by then, yes.
Right.
So, what was the other second? The other one?
Same thing at Mercy Medical Center.
Oh, really?
That was another. But that was...
I only knew of the one.
That was when... like I said, I did sports for more than 20 years, mm-hmm. and then, you know, as we all know, consultants run the world. Mm-hmm. So consultants came and said, forget about sports, it's all about weather. So they said,
I know a little bit about this.
So they said, you know, we're going to get, because there were three of us in Reading and two in Chico, uh-huh. in my sports department, and they said, get rid of all that. They said, you can do sports yourself, by yourself, if you want to, but that's way more than a one-person job to really adequately. How many games can you go to in one night, try to edit it, and blah, blah, blah.
So I would have really questioned that, because I do know that weather is a big deal. I mean, it really is.
Yes.
It's bizarre in itself. But well, I know. I check weather, do all that stuff. But you could never underestimate sports.
Right. Well, it shocked the pants off me, because like, I'm exactly the opposite. I mm-hmm. care about sports, and, you know, the weather is whatever the weather is. I don't care. You know, it's going to happen whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I left for Mercy Medical Center there for about a year or so, too, and then ended up coming back. But now, you know, obviously doing news.
Mm-hmm. When you started off doing the news on camera, probably didn't take you long to realize that, you know, the next day when you're walking around town, people recognize you?
To a degree, I guess. I don't know. I still just like, I mean.
Well, now everybody recognizes.
But normally I'm wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt and a cap or whatever. And, so,
and you're on a bike.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't really, you know, maybe people.
Yeah, but.
But what you've come to, in my opinion, is full circle, right? So you have been here forever. You're a mainstay to me. You're like mm-hmm. kind of the backbone of the community, oh, right?
You're too nice.
And mm-hmm. and I think people see you and recognize you, but everybody has seen you now in the wild, and so now you're just like, I don't know.
You're one
so,
of us.
Yeah, you're yeah. like good. You're like family. Like yeah. like you've come full circle, right? Now you're just like, oh, there's Mike. Because you're like, yeah. oh, there's Mike. Hi, Mike. Hey, Mike.
It's part of the Reading tour, right? They yeah. drive by and they go, there's Old City Hall. There's Mike's house. There's the Civic Auditorium.
There's Mike. There's Mike's son, yeah. Jake.
Yeah. yeah, well, it's there, too. Then you go to yeah. church and there's Mike.
Yeah. More places than people yeah. want me, I know.
Well, it was actually kind of interesting because I ran into you a few months ago at, I know this is kind of weird, but at Panda, right? Panda
Oh, yeah,
Express,
right,
remember?
Right, yes. Uh-huh.
And and what was actually kind of funny is the young people behind the counter, right, young people, were saying, oh, there's the news guy, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, no, there's a good testament.
And not even a free fortune cookie.
No, but, no. There's a testament to
generations.
That even the young, you know, the current generation, mm-hmm. Recognize you, right?
Yeah, and they're generally not watching a whole lot of TV. They're all on their phones, and I don't know anything about that stuff, the online stuff. Like,
surprised that you don't know that you're on the phone too.
Yeah,
little
yeah.
pop-ins.
Do you know that you're online also?
Yes, I know that I am, but like my stories and stuff, I don't know how to do that to yeah. put it online, and we have other people that can.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. No, you're there.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I see you there, too.
I don't, you know, there's so much negativity online that I just...
See, I'll go sit in the living room, and then I'll get on my phone and go to the bathroom, and then, like, on the toilet, there's Mike, and I'm on the toilet.
I'm in your bathroom. Wonderful.
Yeah, okay. do you get, when you get to the station, what time do you get to the station?
Depends on the day and what's going on.
Do you make your own schedule?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, sometime between 9 and 10 I get started because I'm setting things up or have them set up or whatever. And then my normal day is, you know, get started in the morning, shoot the video until noon. Because I turn into a pumpkin at about 2 o'clock. I can't be out anymore after that because I have to get back, edit the story, and then write it, and then go through the newscast before 5 o'clock. So... start in the morning, shoot video, come back, edit it, write the story.
Do you get to determine your own stories? Or
yes.
I'm going to pull something very controversial right now.
Uh-oh.
So you edit your stories, and you go through. Who's fact-checking you?
No one.
No one?
No,
okay.
Really not.
So yeah. you could pull some bias stuff if you wanted to.
I do not do that.
I'm just doing this because, well, you know, the time of the world we're in right now. Journalism is a very interesting topic in people's thoughts about journalism.
Oh,
I feel like nothing like that for you, but I thought it would be fun to bring it up because it's so weird.
It's very different than when I started. You know,
so different.
I cover the Shasta County Board of Supervisors on a regular basis, every meeting that isn't at night. And people for a while, I mean, they were either calling me out personally or the TV station, or a lot of them would say, still do maybe to some extent, will say, you know, mainstream media, but they're looking right at me.
Well, and that's why I brought this up, because it is, I mean, obviously to go here, this is part of the time that we're in, right? I'm just curious your perspective, because it's, to me, it's very uncomfortable. And, you know, I think for you, I feel bad for you because, right, like you could honestly be just doing a story and being as neutral as humanly possible. But in today's world, there's somebody still going to try to manipulate what you said.
We hear that all the time, you know, about you're too liberal, you're too conservative, except up here it's more you're too liberal most of the time. But I just try to tell stories without a political bias. You know, I try to just tell people what happened and let them decide what they want.
And that's what reporting is about.
Yeah, but so. You know, not everyone interprets it that way.
Well, that's
I mean, there are built-in things now of like that, you know, mainstream media that's all bad or whatever, and so they assume that it's all bad. That whatever we're doing is bad.
So at least you get to write your own stories. You don't get edited. You don't have to.
Nope.
And they're mostly local that you do, right?
Yes. I mean, everything that I you know, we have other stories. We have, you know,
national, that, international.
We're an ABC affiliate. We get some of theirs, and we are also a Sinclair Broadcasting owned station. So we have stories from them as well.
Sure. It's thick. There's a lot of layers there.
Let's take a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back with Mike Mangus.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Somebody's watching Mike.
Big brother.
Every afternoon.
He's on a list.
A whole bunch of people are watching you.
I need to be watched.
So you want to touch on that real quick? So unfortunately, somebody had a little accident here before.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, just right before I got here, my wife and I talked, and she had been hit by a city bus.
Like, a car.
The car was
exactly. The car. Let me correct that. Yes. Yeah.
And she is okay.
And she's fine. Yeah. She's, I mean, emotional.
The car's not. Upset,
but, yeah.
We're really sorry for that, and thank God that she is fine.
That's the main thing. As long as she's okay.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
Is this one, do you feel like you need to go there with your camera? And
no.
No? Okay.
Oh, this could make a good story.
Yeah. I mean, it really could in the way of a city bus getting involved in a crash. Yeah, that's true.
You just actually hit on something during the break, you know, about the electric scooters and not being on the trails, and it's something that's in the back of your mind. So do you go through that like semi-regularly where you may see something that you want to figure out or dig into more and turn it into a story for yourself?
I mean, that's what they taught us in journalism school or, you know, back at Shasta High, what they call it, a nose for news. You know, you have to kind of look at things
from a different perspective.
Yeah, in a way of, that's a story, you know, that people would be interested in or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
It's interesting that you told me about the electric bikes, because I said, like, we were talking, because I know you ride a bike. I see you on a bike all the time. My boys bought me an electric bike, and then you were saying that you thought that electric bikes are classified as a motorized vehicle, and so they're not allowed on the trail. But, you know, they have this new bike hub that's going to be opening up here downtown.
I can hardly wait.
I had talked with Sue, and she said that it was not Ann. Sorry, yeah. What I was thinking, Sue. Ann, and she was saying that they got approval for our new electric bike project. So we're gonna have electric bikes like we have the electric scooters. And from my understanding, they are going to be allowed on the trail.
Now the river trail, yes, but these are like dirt roads up in the backcountry or whatever. This is what I was told by somebody out there who had one.
Where there's very frequent patrols.
He said that they are not allowed on dirt trails and anything because there's just a blanket. No motorized vehicles, and it's an electric bike is considered a motorized vehicle. So
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could always go. I mean, I could go on, and then when they pull me over, say, "But it's not. I don't have it on.
Yeah,
I've turned it off. I'm just pedaling."
Don't you see me pedaling?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So you've been doing this for a few years now.
Yeah, about 45.
That's incredible.
Something. Yeah.
I wonder if you actually have one of the longest news reporting positions or people in the country.
I don't know. I think there's people like me around the country. The guy that's just been there forever.
We should create a club.
Yeah.
A fan club.
Yes, you sit around and complain or whatever.
So, out of your career. I know me as a photographer. You have some favorite events. So do you have any favorite stories that stick out to you after all this time? Some personal favorites that you've done.
My favorite story, again, because I'm a sports guy. We're on Super Bowl 50 something now. So this is Super Bowl 19.
Oh my gosh!
I'm a 49ers fan. The 49ers were in the Super Bowl, and I had a friend from Chico, Jeff Stover. Was a defensive lineman for the 49ers, and he was a friend of mine, is a friend of mine. So they're in the Super Bowl, and it was at Stanford Stadium. So I got to go. It's the only Super Bowl I ever got to go to, was in the Bay Area. And so they handily beat the Denver Broncos in that. And so I was there to cover the game, but I had no credentials like to go into the locker room because there's it's way worse now than it was then, but still a lot of people that wanted to cover the Super Bowl. So, but I just kind of went with the herd of reporters in the locker room after. So it was just really fun to celebrate, my team, the 49ers, winning the Super Bowl with a friend of mine who was on the team. So that was just like kind of the coolest thing ever for me.
That's cool. And you got to, so there was a double win then. You got your access and your team won.
Yep, exactly. And then with a friend besides. And then I'm a Giants fan, so I have the same birth date as Barry Bonds. And so I would go down. Now, I've had it 9 years longer than he has. But it's the same date. And so I would go down when they were home, two, three times on that day just to kind of say, "Hey, Barry, happy birthday." And Barry had a pretty prickly personality and not real friendly with the media, but I got along with him fine, and partly because we had that
same thing in common.
And so one year on my birthday, I went down with Jake, my son, and then another friend of ours to the game, and Bonds threw out what would have been the go-ahead run in the top of the ninth inning, so keeping the game tied, and then he hit the game-winning home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. And then so that was pretty cool, too. Yeah, so I have a big framed newspaper on my wall that Jake gave me of that game that
day. It's funny for me because I like sports, but I'm not well-versed in it like you are, right? So I always find it very intriguing when I watch people talk about sports, and I can see it in your mind. It's amazing what sports enthusiasts can remember about sports. They remember everything, right? I mean, like the top of the ninth.
those are real highlights. I always find that really, really cool.
I got hit by a baseball at Dodger Stadium.
Did you?
That's what I remember.
Did you get to keep the ball?
I did.
Oh, okay, good. That's worse than if you get hit by the ball and somebody else gets it.
Was it a line drive way out, or were you behind the
I was there
plate?
I was there to photograph Darryl Strawberry, and I was in one of the dugouts.
Okay.
And I wasn't paying attention, and it was a foul ball, and it ricocheted off my behind.
Oh, that's where that dimple came from.
It's still there. A nice big crater, but
it
stung for a while, but I've got to keep the bone.
Yeah, right.
I don't know where it is at this point, but any other? Okay, how about some of the more controversial stuff? Because you've been doing this a while, right? So you have a nose for news. So like when something hits, like what was it, the Sherry Papini thing and maybe some of the others?
Oh, my goodness.
When something like that hits, do your spidey senses go up and you go, you know, there's something not quite right. You may not be able to say it at the time.
Well, yes, but what was funny at the time is I presided over their marriage, Keith and Sherry Papini.
Gosh.
So, but, I mean,
got really cool.
Comes the good stuff.
Didn't know it. I didn't know them well then. They presented themselves for marriage and went through the program and all that. And
yeah.
So, you know, seemed
like for those that know, you are part of St. Joseph's Church.
Yeah.
And you're a deacon. So.
Yes. I presided over their wedding. And that was that. And then when the whole Sherry Papini thing started unfolding, of course, our reporters immediately go onto the internet to find pictures or whatever. And
there's you.
And they say, look, you did their wedding. Oh my gosh, I did. So I didn't even remember that,
Yeah.
But yeah. And obviously that was a huge story. And, when she presented herself down in Yuba County, wherever that was along the freeway, I was supposed to have gone to run that every year that
turkey
they have
Thanksgiving.
The turkey
yeah.
trot, yeah, that not, I guess they still have that.
Yep.
The turkey trot, to meet Keith there, and they were releasing yellow balloons, and so I went there and Keith wasn't there, and they released the balloons. Like, that's weird, because we were going to talk, because he was trying to get as much publicity as he could all the time. So I went home, and I was actually on my roof when the sheriff, Tom Basenko, called me. And
you're on your roof you would, right?
Yeah, like any normal person would be. I don't know what I was doing, fixing something, doing something up there. And so he called me and said that she had been found, and then he wanted to know about a Bible verse, and that's why he really called me, that had been
branded
onto to her shoulder or wherever it was.
Didn't do that, did you?
So, no. So that's
why I was calling.
How I learned that Sherry had been found. Yeah.
What was the verse? Do you remember by chance at all?
Oh, man. Do with kidnapping, but it was kind of reverse.
Okay. Hmm. So it was just part of the mystery.
Found
or something, maybe.
Yeah, I'd have to go.
Once was lost, now I'm
yeah.
But did you have this inkling, like, as it was going on, that something wasn't quite right, that the pieces weren't adding up?
Because
this community was kind of divided at that time, right?
In talking to law enforcement, and specifically Tom Basenko, that was the sheriff at the time, I mean, I would say, what's new with that, what do you think, and all that. And he couldn't really respond, but he kind of gives a little eye roll.
The world-famous eye roll.
That was kind of my indication that something wasn't quite right. But he could never really talk about it.
Not everything was right in Denmark.
I think about it every time we drive I-5 or 99 and the Yolo County sign is up. And I think of that.
Okay.
I think of that particular day.
Yeah. So that was...
So 40 years. So you've obviously seen Reading change quite a bit.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
How would you, I mean, there's the typical way of describing the change that it's gotten bigger, but for you, how would you describe the change of Reading in 40 years?
Well, I've lived here for more than 60 years.
Okay.
So I remember looking it up at some point, and Reading was about the size of Red Bluff when I moved here, when I was 2 or whatever. So it's grown that much since then.
It's very different.
I think of, just like I knew the old owners, the individual shop owners downtown, the Jeremotis and Sim Nathans and all those stores.
Dickers.
Bob Dicker.
Awesome.
Exactly. So remembering all those things. And then, across the river was just a pasture out there where the the mall
where the mall is.
There. Yeah, where the Mount Shasta Mall is. That was nothing. So
there was no uptown and downtown.
And that was just town.
So we discussed last week, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, last week the Reading was divided into three. Yeah, downtown. What it? Yeah, downtown.
And then the west, something west, and then,
yeah, that was,
and then out of town, which was Four Corners.
There was Enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, Enterprise. Was, yeah,
Enterprise, and then out of town.
That was out of town.
Yeah, yeah, on the other side of the river.
Yeah, yeah, people said they were going out of town, and they went south of Cypress.
Yeah.
There's a hint. We'll be right back.
Every time I think of you, I always catch my breath, and I'm still standing here, and you're miles away, and I'm wondering why you left. And there's a storm that's raining.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least three realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least three realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Nigel and James. It's March 15th?
Yep.
And look, Mike, it's not raining.
It's very nice.
6:47, and it's the sun.
See, we could all do the weather. We could all do the weather right now.
At least for a day or two before it comes back again. But yes, very different tonight than it was last night.
Maybe he knows lake levels.
So we have with us. Yeah, do you know the?
There's controversy over lake levels.
All right. Yeah, it's a big deal. I can't.
Yeah.
So we have with us. Mike Mangus, Reading's beloved news anchor, right?
No, just me. It's just my job that I do.
Mike, but it's an important job.
Contribute to the community.
You know, it's quite a big deal to be in people's living rooms every afternoon.
I try not to make a mess. Yes.
Yeah. You clean up after you.
Yes.
Yeah. You obviously like this area. You know, you still like this area. That's why you're here. I mean, and one of the last times I ran into you. Doing the Christmas parade was up in Weaverville.
Yes, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
You run into Mike just about anywhere.
Do you like getting out and doing some of the more regional places?
Yeah, the celebrations that go on. Yeah, those are kind of fun things. My wife likes it as well, you know, to go to these little community things. She is from Siskiyou County, and she was born in McLeod and then lived in Dunsmuir for a while before coming down here. So we like to go
to
Siskiyou
mountain
County.
Girl.
Yeah, but she, again, it's like she was pretty young when she moved to Reading.
So Reading has definitely changed over the last 3 years, right, ever since the COVID thing happened. And we've had a lot of people move out, but we've also had a lot of new people move in, right? And so we touched on this quite a bit. You know, my heart is in, our heart is actually in the whole tourism piece. And with the Enjoy Store, like you say, you've newbies come in a lot. People just moved here.
Oh, we just moved here from Sacramento. We just moved here from LA. We just moved here from Fresno. We've just, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, great. It's been a lot of, we've gotten a lot of new activity and stuff.
That's like the people that are bailing out of the big cities and cashing in on their homes or whatever and coming up here where it's cheaper to live.
Or, yeah, exactly that. And they were like, we didn't like being told what to do and, you know, during the pandemic, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it's, sure. There are lots of layers to the move.
Yeah. Okay.
So we like to ask some of our OGs, right? One of the OGs for the new ones listening. One of the things we like to touch on is some of your favorite places to eat besides home.
Oh my gosh!
Do you have any favorite?
Like, what's your favorite food in general? Like, if you like one,
like, you know, I don't go to like fancy restaurants particularly.
No.
You know, usually, honest truth, we take our dog with us a lot, and so we eat in the car a lot. You know, in this case, just to hang out with him, so we can get
There's
him.
There's nothing
out.
Wrong with that.
A little unusual. I mean. We like the Buddha Bowls at Wilda's that are out in Enterprise now. That used to be downtown.
That's number one for sure.
Yeah. And then
Where are they?
By the way, if you are new to town and you haven't been to Wilda's and you haven't had the Buddha Bowl, I think they close. No, too late now.
They close at 7.
Tomorrow.
Oh, I was just going to say, when we leave here, that's where we're going. Yeah. We're going to go get a Buddha Bowl. Not going to make it.
No.
But where are they now?
They're in the shopping center.
Right, in front of Dairy
Queen. Next to Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen, yeah. Okay, they're still there. For some reason, I thought you were saying that they had moved, and I was like, they moved?
I was thinking of when they were down.
So again, if you are in Reading, and you haven't been to Wilda's yet, and you haven't had a Buddha Bowl, you have to do so.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other
and they're easy to work with in the bowl, right? Because you can take them in the car, and you can eat out of them well.
Yeah, work your way through.
Mechanism that's a fork and chopsticks all in one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fork sticks.
sometimes we go to, and it's a franchise.
I know you go to Panda.
Yeah, you go to Panda.
we may have to go there tonight.
Not super often, but The Habit.
We eat a lot at The Habit.
Yeah.
Good food.
My wife likes those... green beans that have something.
Fried green peas?
They have something on them, too. And
They're fried. What's not to like? You could fry
it. There you go.
James likes anything fried.
I do.
They have chicken sandwiches at The Habit. They're better than the ones at the other place that gets all the publicity.
Yeah, they are really good.
Yeah, I really like their chicken sandwiches.
Speaking of publicity, you know, it took me a little while to get used to the fact that when a restaurant opens up here, like a Chick-fil-A or a KFC or whatever, there's a line for...
Oh, there's still a line at Chick-fil-A.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
And it makes the front page of the news.
Go out there, yes. The Chick-fil-A, have you seen when the weather's bad, the little things that the Chick-fil-A people wear, like these little boxes?
Mm-hmm. It's like they do that at Dutch Bros, too.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh, they're like little people tents.
Yeah. I've never seen those before. It's just like, different.
When people come to visit you, I'm assuming, if people come to visit, friends and family, and they ask you where to go in the area and go spend the day or something, where do you send them?
Oh, man. I should be consulting my son, the chamber CEO, out there. Yes. Boy.
This isn't business. This is pleasure. This is your own personal.
Just the outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just, the trails and that kind of thing.
Do you send them or do you take them?
Yeah, I try to go with them. Somewhere. Yeah,
experience it
because it's so fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the new trail that cuts down underneath the Dieselhorst Bridge and all that down there. And then our daughter lives over kind of in Sunset Terrace, so she knows a trail that goes from there.
I have to say one of the things that I'm very happy and impressed and is our trail system.
Wonderful.
And I just hope that they continue to just develop that because you just can't have too many, especially when it comes to access like that, where some of these really beautiful neighborhoods that can just have a trail down from one of the cul-de-sacs that connect you, and you know the family can just jot on down. And
then we truly have world-class trout fishing right in the middle of town. It just amazes
and
me.
People don't really talk about it. I mean, you see people fishing, but you don't really realize that it is true.
Like you're driving over the 299 bridge over the Sacramento River, and there's like tremendous trout fishing, like right below you.
Yeah.
So do you fish?
Occasionally. Not. It's kind of like golf or whatever when you get a chance. But,
what are your hobbies?
Between work and church and family, I don't.
You're a busy guy.
Yeah, I don't have I don't even get to find time to read a book.
That was
something,
so funny. You just made a face, and I saw Jake.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, there's Jake.
Jake is in Miami right now.
Oh, is he?
So I'm envious. Yeah, he's a Chamber of Commerce thing, but he and I are both big baseball fans, and you know this World Baseball Classic is going on, and there are some games in Miami where he is, so he's going to go to a game on Friday.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So he gets bragging rights.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never been on the Eastern time zone in my life. And there he is in Miami.
Good for him. Yeah.
Right on.
That's awesome.
I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me.
I mean, to be able to carve out just a little bit of time, because, I mean, obviously you do have the schedule that, you know,
I'm just hungry now.
I know.
That's the point, right?
Yeah.
We didn't give you. I should have offered you some water and in-flight nuts.
Right. How about Shasta County? See, we always concentrate on Redding, right?
Yeah, right. To the chagrin of Eastern Shasta County, they get.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever get to venture out to Bernie and Shingletown and all that?
Yeah, Trinity County, Siskiyou County. I was just up in Siskiyou County in Dunsmuir where they were sending a shipment of water to the town East Palestine in Ohio where they had the train derailment like they had in Dunsmuir, which I remember.
Oh, I remember that too, yeah.
Yeah, on the Cantara Loop there. So I was up there last week, and I go to Chico fairly regularly.
That's kind of cool that they did that for them, though, because we do have greatest water in the world, they say, right there, right? You might as well share it.
So, a full truckload of water that they sent.
I remember that train derailment. I remember all the fish that died.
Oh, yeah, the vegetation, the fish, everything. Yeah. It just wiped out everything for the stretch from Dunsmuir to Shasta Lake.
Amazing.
I enjoy that very much. The thing is, I just have to be, again, I turn into
you gotta
a pumpkin
be back by one.
About 2 o'clock or so. So I have to make sure I get back. Yeah, you can go out and play now, but make sure you're back.
I'm a little surprised. I mean, I'm good for you that you do it, but I'm a little surprised at this point in level of your profession that you don't just do that kind of, you know, shoot it, write it, but then have somebody else edit it for you.
Oh, well, there isn't anybody else.
Oh.
there are, you know, some people that do edit, the national stuff or whatever.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just look at it as total editorial control.
Okay,
I respect that.
Glass half full. Good for you. Because I'd be like, hey, you know, here's my reel. Edit it.
I like telling stories. That's what I like to do.
Have you ever had any, I'm sure you must have it. Some moments where you just miss the cue, or you have your
bloopers.
Blooper. Do you have a good blooper roll?
Oh
reel?
Gosh, I hopefully not. No, one thing I remember again back in the sports day. I was going to say, talking about games are underway everywhere tonight, and I said every way underwear.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Yeah, have you ever passed out?
No.
Have you ever thrown up?
No.
Okay. Well, see, you're doing good.
I sneezed during a break tonight, so I had to blow my nose before he came back on.
I was going to say, then you're doing really well, because I watch a lot of news bloopers, and they make me laugh. And there is some real bloopers.
And you never know. To this point, no.
We've gotten close to doing some tornado chasing around here at some point.
Yeah, a couple times. That's the weather guys that do that stuff. Stay out of that. They're all excited about that.
Yep. Getting there.
Tornadoes.
Yeah.
Well, just the other day.
This is the first time in a long time that the weather has truly been worth watching the weather, right?
Oh, yeah.
Forever, we've had I mean, for the last 10 years, we've had no weather.
Yeah. And now it all comes in
it's
one.
It's hot and sunny and dry. That's dry, right. Hot, and
see,
sunny.
That was kind of my point about
when the changes are made. Yes,
weather
I know.
Was like in the summertime, what do we do? We got to talk about, you know, for a while, again, those consultants, when they first came in, well, when the temperature gets over 100 degrees, you've got to warn people. You've got, it's like, if we did that, we would look so stupid.
Yeah. Well, but you know,
there's fire season.
That part's good. But I've had conversations with Mike Krueger about when that whole change made and how crazy it was.
Listen, right at the end of the show, Mike's going to go eat and check up on his lovely wife.
Thank you for having me. Good.
No, thank you.
Thank you for being part of our community.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.